Good evening and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Luke Hill, kind of just community leader. I mean, you're involved with the hospital. We'll get into all your things, but hi, Luke.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
So you work at the hospital and you are a city councilman.
That's correct.
For the city of Allgood.
That's correct.
And, but you are not from here. So tell me a little bit about growing up, where you grew up in.
Absolutely. Born and raised in Sioux City, Iowa. So up north. And my parents...
It's kind of Midwest.
Midwest.
I'm a Yankee here, so...
Wintertime, it feels pretty north, you know. But we moved down here when I was about 16 years old. My father took a job over at the Air Force Base over there at in Maryville. And so moved down here at 16 and then lived in Maryville and for a few years, and then went to undergraduate at MTSU. That's where I met my wife. And then we ended up living briefly in Chattanooga for a little while, and then moved to Memphis for law school. And that was, goodness, back in 2003. And then we've been here in Cookeville for the past 4 years.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to believe we've been here 4 years. I still feel like the new guy in town.
Well, I mean, and you jumped right in. You're pretty involved for the new guy in town. But so you're in Memphis for a little while. You've been kind of throughout the state of Tennessee, so you know the state pretty well.
Absolutely. Love it.
And you are the chief legal counsel at CRMC.
I am.
That's got to be interesting right now.
It's, oh gosh, especially right now with the whole pandemic thing.
And nobody trains you. No, you know, you didn't.
Yeah, you don't learn. There's not a pandemic class in law school. So it is definitely interesting times at the medical center. So.
Yeah. Well, and so what made you decide to go into the medical field from, you know, law school?
Absolutely. You know, it's just one of those things where I just kind of, I hate to say, fell into the medical legal field. My first job out of law school was at a large law firm in Memphis, and I had the opportunity to do some work for one of their clients, Baptist Memorial Healthcare over in Memphis, and jumped at it. And just that was my stepping point into the healthcare field, and just loved it. Had the opportunity to then go in-house with Baptist Memorial Healthcare, large hospital system, and jumped at it and haven't looked back.
Was there a huge learning curve with that? Because like I said, you know, in law school, I'm sure there's not a lot of medical healthcare information that you're gaining then.
Yeah. You know, back then there was limited schools that were doing a healthcare emphasis. Memphis was just starting with that. And since that point in time, that law school has just had a booming health law a focus, and just excited about what that law school is doing in Memphis. And, you know, just loved law school Yeah, that's how I got into healthcare.
Do you think, tell me about growing up. So in, even when you, before you came to Tennessee, do you think that you, were you the kind of kid that was like, I think a lot of times when people go into law, they're the kids that want to debate a lot as little kids. At least that's what people told me. I was a debater and people would say, you should be a lawyer.
Was
that you as a kid?
You know, it depends on who you ask. You ask my mom, she shall argue, you know, whether water is wet. But no, not really. It wasn't my intention to, you know, set, I'm going to be a lawyer when I grow up. No, it was more of just a, you know, I was at this point where I just wanted to, you know, get a higher level degree after undergraduate. And
what's your undergraduate degree?
My undergraduate degree is oddly enough, computer science. And I was going to go into some sort of, interested to go into some sort of patent law or intellectual property law. But once you got into law school, you know, it opened so many doors and so many opportunities. So I jumped at it.
Yeah. So you're in Memphis, you find the job. Were you trying to come back to this, you know, a more rural area? Was it a lifestyle thing?
Or? No, it was kind of a combination of two things. When we lived in Memphis, my parents lived in Maryville. When we moved to Maryville, when I was 16, my parents were over there, and so working in Memphis, and we were coming over here to East Tennessee quite a bit, and visiting, and kind of the homestead is over here on the eastern side of the state. And about 5 years ago, my father passed, and we had to make some tough decisions with regards to. We've got a little family place over here, in East Tennessee. And so we had to make some tough decisions as to whether or not we were going to, kind of move back closer to, our family property, or if we're going to, let it go. We just made the decision to, hey, we'll look to see if there's an opportunity. And we looked, and this job, came available. A previous, attorney, retired, and so it just was very apropos, and I just kind of fell in place. And I wasn't looking to leave Memphis. Loved my job at Baptist Memorial. Just they're fantastic folks. Worked for great people.
And really invested a lot into you. I'm sure of just forming who you are in your career today. They kind of you were a little. Wet behind the ears, I think, is the way it says.
Absolutely. So. They took a chance on me over in Memphis, and I'm eternally grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And so I hated to leave. And I still keep up with my folks over there at Baptist Memorial, and great, great folks over there. So,
in case you're just joining us, we have Luke Hill, Chief Legal Counsel at CRMC. And so you come here, and it's a more rural town. Is that affect the way that the hospital, what your job entails at the hospital?
It's less that it's rural and more so that it's just we're smaller. We're a real unique entity over here at Cookeville Regional. So many hospitals are going towards a big healthcare system, part of a big chain. Look at hospitals that have over, 150 hospitals in a system. Here, we're a community hospital, and that's what makes it great, in my opinion, is that everything we need is here. We can make changes a lot easier. We've got a great board, we've got great leadership, we've got great physicians and great staff. So we're smaller, and that's a good thing in my opinion. But what that results in is, I'm involved in, the day-to-day aspects of it that, it can be challenging, but it's also a wonderful and fulfilling at the same time.
Well, and we talked about the fact that you're in a pandemic, and there's just, I say this a lot, no one's winning in any of this. Everybody's trying to do the best they can. So can you, if you had to tell listeners one thing about the hospital and what they really truly need to know, that that's just not the perception out there of the hospital right now. What do you think that people really need to understand and know?
Oh, wow.
Loaded question.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that, we are doing everything we can to address the whole COVID-19 pandemic, and, take the opportunity to say, continue masking and continue, wash those hands regularly and do those common sense things that we can do, all of us can do to help, reduce the numbers. The medical staff, we post our numbers, and we're kind of on the higher side right now. Our peak was around 30 through the, at any given time, we're down a little bit, but it's still up there. So, take this opportunity, everybody, wash hands.
One of the major
reasonable precautions.
Concerns that you guys have to deal with at the hospital is that you have a limited staff. And so, if your staff is getting sick, if there's more people that are coming in, I know that's been one thing, is that people, the hospitals are not letting me see my loved ones, and they're not, right. All those kind of things. I said, everybody's doing the best they can, and everybody's making the informed decisions as best they can, and you have to protect your staff as well as other people in the patients.
Absolutely. And balance it with what we're getting from, you know, our federal, you know, guidance, you know, from the CDC. And, you know, people get frustrated when, well, we changed the rules again. You know, we got different guidance from CDC. It's it is tough to be nimble and be able to address, you know, based upon whatever guidance that we're getting.
Well, and it's science. I've said this since very beginning. You can't do one test and think this is the answer. We know all the answers. And so as time goes on, there's more testing. There's more, not even just COVID testing. There's more research done into what this is and how the effects on people and all that kind of stuff. So you're going to gain more information as time goes on.
Right.
And so,
yeah, we're doing what we can to, you know, limit traffic. I know that's been a source of difficulty is
you know, point for people.
Yeah, is limiting foot traffic and reduced visitation at the medical center, and but it the intent is to keep the numbers down and to do what we can to stop the spread.
And you do really have you have an impact on this whole community here, not just the patients that you have in the hospital. Like you said, the foot traffic coming in, you know, that can help or hurt spread it more. And so you guys have a moral obligation to the community.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And we're watching for our staff too. You know, mm-hmm. our staff are the ones that are, you know, they're pivotal in combating this. So if we're, you know, we have to make sure that we're protecting them. So we have a work staff that can care of the patient.
Yeah. That's a lot of it is that you can't have a whole nursing staff out because then they're not able to take care of the patients.
Absolutely.
We're going to get more into all your how you jumped into All Good City when we get back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too, and unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Luke Hill, Chief Legal Counsel at the hospital, All Good City Councilman. So you live in All Good?
I do.
So is that where you moved to All Good right away when you came into town?
We did.
And what made you choose All Good? Because when I moved here, it was about 7 years ago, people are like, you could live out in All Good. It's so far away. I don't know if you want to drive that far. So what made you, was it just that was the right house for you, or?
It was, you know, we drove through All Good, you know, sleepy little outskirts. Just really, we enjoyed the feel of it. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit of, you know, we found the right house.
Mm-hmm. A great neighborhood.
I found a great house. I can't say that, you know, I had a lot of input in the house, but we love the feel of the neighborhood of the neighborhood and the town.
Margaret loved the house.
My wife just she loved the house, and so this is where we're gonna go.
So you're there, and someone stepped down from the city council. Is that what
they
happened?
They did,
and in the middle of a term.
That's correct.
And they were looking for volunteers. Suckers, maybe some people they were looking for people to get involved.
Yes.
And what made you say, maybe I'll do this?
Yeah. You know, a person had stepped down, and You know, just after moving to the town, we were just kind of keeping our eye on you know, our local government and just kind of watching. And there was a vacancy. You look and you go, gosh, my skill set could possibly meet that need. And, you know, I'm the type of guy that says, hey, if there's a need and you've got a skill set, you know, we all kind of have a civic duty to kind of step in and try to meet that need. And, you know, we all need to kind of take our turn sometime in the world to kind of step up and say, hey, let me help if I can. And if I can't, that's fine. But I wish I could say it was more than that, but it was really just...
So you threw your name in the hat, and they said, and you have family that was in politics.
Right? My father-in-law was in politics over in Memphis. So while we were over there for the past, 14 years, was around it and was familiar, comfortable with it. Served on some boards over in Memphis.
In a small town like Allgood, to be on the city council, it's not running for state senate.
No.
It's a little bit of a different thing, but you get to impact your immediate community.
Absolutely.
And so at that time, you were appointed onto the city council by the board the council at that time.
Correct.
And then this past year, there was an election. And so you had to kind of... vie for your spot.
Absolutely. Had to get elected if I wanted to keep the seat. So
you did. So you must have, what's your favorite thing about being on the city council?
It's really just kind of what you just said was, being able to impact, where you live. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that kind of made me even want to do this was, just talking to neighbors and talking to people that said, hey, we've got these concerns and we need somebody that can, address some of those concerns, because, the concerns that are in my neighborhood are no different than the concerns in other neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the best thing about it, is being able to impact kind of locally.
Well, and I'm like you, Luke, that I'm not from here. I'm not, my mama's mama's mama does not know your mama's mama's mama, like some of these people. And so I think it's nice to have some fresh blood, some fresh ideas to hey, maybe we could think about it this way, or maybe we could, do things in a different way that we haven't always done. And so do you think you kind of bring that to the table?
Yeah, I've really no real ties here. And so that my intent is to, make informed decisions that are for the best of the municipality. And ask as many questions as I can and just be as
I feel like you are
can.
You are the question asker on the city council.
I do. A lot of people, and so much happens, kind of behind the scenes with just, one on one between, like any city councilman and our city manager who's just wonderful.
Keith Morrison.
I go to these, go to council meetings and I think, people out there, they have questions and I have questions. So if I have questions, I bet you, other people have them. So I'm going to ask them.
And yeah.
If they're dumb questions, so be it.
Well, and I think, like you said, then you bring more light to other people. In case you're just joining us, Luke Hill, Allgood City Councilman, Chief Legal Counsel at CRMC. So right now there's a hot button topic in Allgood. I don't know why I would know about it, but liquor by the drink is going to be on the ballot in on November 3rd. And so what is the city's, how could this impact the city getting liquor by the drink passed?
It boils down to our, source of revenue is. Tax sales tax dollars. I'm very curious to see how this will impact the city if it does indeed pass. I'll be honest, I don't know where I land on the issue, but it would impact the sales tax revenue. So that is something that we need to consider.
I think a big interesting part to me is that people are spending money on this no matter what. It's not that we're going to increase the amount of people that want to have a drink with their dinner. And that's all that this is passing is in a restaurant, liquor in a restaurant. And that money, those dollars are now going to our surrounding communities. They're going to Livingston, they're going to Cookeville, and we're not keeping those dollars in our own community. And I think that that's pretty important that All Good needs to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so part of this, hopefully, if this does pass, my own take into this, is that now we have a playground or a park that is on the plans to happen. And so tell me about the park that's...
Oh, yeah. That's probably, you know, the most exciting initiative right now is just the development of the All Good Park. And it's moving forward and just excited as to what's to come on that. And, you know, we're going to be breaking ground soon, which is going to be fantastic. And, you know, once we can start using that parcel, you know, it's going to be in several different phases. And once we can start using it, just a walking trail, something, that's going to be just a great step forward for the park. And then we'll start phasing in, you know, various other aspects of the park.
So there's a walking trail that's going to be at the park. What other things that are going to be? Because some people, I've talked to people and they had no idea that this is even in the plans.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, no, you can go to the website. There's a big billboard inside City Hall if anybody wants to stop by there. It's the plans are out there.
And there's and a, I have an to say, amphitheater that's looking at.
Large playground where, you know, climby things and whatnot. There's a concept even for a little splash pad or something along those, some sort of water feature.
And there's even like outdoor, so Blue Cross Blue Shield, is that correct? Is you're looking at a grant with them.
That's correct.
So there's some health equipment, like an outdoor elliptical machine that uses your own body weight to have, you know, have this outdoor equipment. Which would just be such a cool feature for the city of All Good.
Absolutely.
Where do you see the city of All Good going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, you know, especially if Liquor by the Drink does happen, I think you're going to see some restaurants open up, maybe. And again, I don't know if that is that a good thing or is that a bad thing. I think if we do it in a smart manner, with reasonable restrictions, reasonable growth, not just a free for all. Mm-hmm. If we can do that, if we can redevelop our little downtown core area, fantastic, you know, Red Oak Roasters. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness,
it's a coffee shop that recently opened down there, and they're thriving. I mean, you and I talked so a couple weeks ago about the fact that you saw maybe 100 people in and out of the coffee shop in one Saturday.
It's amazing. It's amazing. They're just doing wonderful, and they're just right on the little main street right
and
there.
And they're building the farmer's market that's going in there.
Just got materials just got delivered.
Holloway and Sons is working on that. And so
forward.
It's definitely, I think you're right. If it's done in the correct way, voting for Liquor by the Drink is not necessarily voting for beyond what All Good can handle. It's really, it's the fact that the planning commission and the city council want to see growth, but not crazy. You know, they want to do it in a smart way.
Absolutely.
And so I think I love to see the downtown area. My 10-year-old drives through there a lot. Well, she doesn't drive. She rides with me. But she always says, Mom, we got to fix this up. We got to do something. And I, for a long time, I'd say, well, when you know, you can become mayor when you're older. And I've myself thought, well, I live here now. Why do I not get involved and do something here and see kind of where we can take this and have this community still have that small town,
absolutely,
warm feel, but bring some tax dollars, keep our tax dollars in our own community.
Absolutely. But we also have to weigh, you know, the interests of our churches, our playgrounds, our other local businesses, and as to whether or not we could have, you know, harmony amongst all of those players in our community. It'll be interesting to see if it does pass.
I think between the city council that we have and the city manager and the folks that are involved, I think if anybody can create harmony, it's that team.
I certainly hope so. Certainly
I think so. So how can people find you if they, well, you really do the face page is what you call it. But people can find you through the hospital website, I guess, if they want to send you an email.
Absolutely.
Is there a city council email address? Like if people wanted to find you.
I've just got an email address, lukehilltn@gmail.com.
Okay.
If anybody wants to send me an email, shoot me a quick email. Happy to talk to anybody.
Tell you anything about complain to you about too much traffic in Allgood City.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, I guess that's what, you put your name in the hat for. So
that's
the good and the bad.
That's exactly right. Happy to talk to anybody.
Thank you so much for being here, Luke. It was great to have you.
Tiffany, thanks for having me on.